Well, it's really great to be with you, NBC. Hello, I'm Nicole. Come from Sydney, and I'm a Queenslander at heart. So it is great to be home. Yes, go the Maroons. I mean, I'm in friendly territory. It's lovely. It's so good. We're talking about weight this morning. Who could carry that kind of weight? And it's kind of ironic, really, isn't it? Because at Easter time, I eat so much chocolate, you know, I almost send myself into a diabetic coma. Is there anyone else that's out there with me? You like your chocolate at Easter? Donna, I know I've got a friend in Donna. It's crazy. For me, it's like Easter is the apology to myself for all of those ridiculous New Year's resolutions that I made that I wouldn't eat sugar. It just is. But it's crazy. We're talking about weight. But thankfully this morning, we are not talking about that kind of weight. All right? Breathe a sigh of relief. Let your belt buckle wild. We're not talking about that kind of weight. The weight that we're talking about this morning is far heavier than that. The weight that we're focusing on this morning is the weight of the situation or the gravity or the ramification of something. And that can be really, really heavy. Perhaps there's been a time in your life where you've found yourself in just that kind of situation. Maybe it's even caught you by surprise, where the weight of something has just come crashing down on you. Late last year, our family expanded by one. And this is the baby that it expanded with. Oh, this is my little puppy called Peanut. Well, he's actually my son's dog, but I just love him to bits, his little spoodle. And he came into our life just before Christmas, and I just can't tell you how in love I am with this dog. Do any of you have pets? Anyone? Yeah, there's a few. Okay, well, maybe you'll understand what I'm talking about. Like, I love this dog so much, it's pitiful. When they picked him up, I was actually away for the weekend. And so John met me at the airport, and I got to have this little puppy on my lap all the way home. I cried. It's true. I'm not exaggerating. I cried all the way home. I was so happy. I was so in love with this dog. Anyway, we were coming up to Christmas and it was stinking, stinking hot in Sydney. It does happen. And I got home from work one of these really hot days and I went to the fridge looking for something to cool myself down. And you know at Christmas time you get those really good green grapes? You know, the really big fat plump hard ones that crunch in your mouth, really refreshing, right? So I grabbed this bunch of grapes out of the fridge and I went out the back to play with the puppy and to eat grapes. And he's just so cute and he eats anything. And I thought, I was enjoying them so much and I thought, Peanut might like some grapes too. So I got one of the grapes and I like bit it into quarters and you never like let a teaching opportunity go by. So I'm like, you know, Peanut, sit. And he sat. And so I fed him the bit of grape and he loved it. So Peanut and I munched our way through this whole bunch of grapes and he was getting really good at sitting and I was so proud of myself. And I raced back inside to our family. I'm like, guess what? Peanut just ate all these grapes. And my daughter's like, oh. I'm like, what? She's like, Mum, you can't feed dogs grapes. Grapes are bad for dogs. And I'm like, Alexandra, I have never heard that. Like chocolate, yes, but grapes, no. She's like, she was adamant. They're bad for dogs. So what do? You get your phone out and Google it. Thank you. So I Googled it and up it pops. Grapes aren't just bad for dogs. They're toxic. I had killed my puppy, like this precious puppy. Oh my gosh, talk about the weight of something just crashing in on you. Oh my word. Anyway, long story short, trip to the vet, a few hundred dollars later, a few vomits. Peanut's fine, he's still with us. But there are some things in life that aren't so easily solved, aren't there? There are some things in life that often come in with a huge weight attached to them that we only wish a few hundred dollars and a trip to a doctor's would make go away. And sin is one of those things. Here in Luke 23, we see that Jesus carried the weight of sin for all the world. 1 Peter says this, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. Now, this word sin is a Greek word called hamatano. I'm not Greek. I don't know if I said it right, but that's phonetically what it is. Hamatano. Now, hamatano means to miss the mark. It was a word that they would use in archery if someone missed the target. And that's what sin actually is. Sin is anything that misses the mark from God's standard. Now, if you think about it in this target kind of way, like think of William Tell and the apple on the head, all right? Imagine it. Apple on the head. Hit the target. You either hit it or you don't. You with me? There's no room here. And the same is true with God's standard. We either hit it and we are perfectly like Him in our character, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, or we don't. Now, quizzes are very popular these days. People often, if you're on Facebook, they often pop up with a little quiz, 10-step quiz that you can give yourself. You might like to give yourself a little quiz this morning to see whether you hit God's standard or not. It's kind of expounded for us what God's standard is in 1 Corinthians 13. So you're ready for this quiz? You don't have to answer out loud, all right? You can just answer to yourself. So whether you hit this mark or not, here we go. Let's have a look at the target. So God's standard is patience. Always being patient. Kindness. Always being kind. It looks like not envying someone. Now let's put this into context. The new person that comes into the office straight out of university and gets the senior job, and you've been there for 20 years. Who are they to get that job? What would they know? Just because they got a piece of paper? That's envy. No envy. Never envying. His standard is humility. Politeness. Always. No room for error, remember. Putting others first. Selflessness. Not being offended. His standard is believing the best of others. Always. Honesty. Perseverance. Forgiveness. Forgiveness towards all people. Even the ones that hurt you. Maybe these things sound familiar. Maybe if you're married, you heard them at your wedding. 1 Corinthians 13 is summed up in love. And this is God's standard. Perfect love, because God is love. It's His character. It's who He is. It's the very essence of God. And so, if we are to hit God's standard, that's it. How did your quiz go? Maybe it went something like mine, and that was miserably. But that's a reality for all of us, isn't it? You don't need me to tell you that any more than I need you to tell me. We all fall short, and that's what Romans says. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And here in Luke 23, Jesus personally carried the weight of all of those sins. He took personal responsibility for every time that you and I ever miss that mark and ever will. 2 Corinthians tells us God put the wrong on Him that never did anything wrong so that we might be put right with God. Who can carry that kind of weight? Because the weight of sin, it's heavy, isn't it? The weight of sin is heavy. When you think those thoughts, maybe they're judgy thoughts about someone. Have you ever done that? You see someone and you kind of make your mind up about them, and it's perhaps not believing the best. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in a conversation with them. And you're smiling at them and you're looking them in the eyes and you're chatting to them. And inside you realize, oh my gosh, I was so wrong about this person. The weight of that is heavy. You know, the weight of sin can look like guilt. was watching 60 Minutes about a month or so ago. And they had on it, she was a girl in about her mid-20s. You're with me. It's early. In her mid-20s, and she was on there because it was all about this other lady who had been imprisoned for killing her husband in Tasmania on the yacht. Any of you familiar with that story? And there have been some questions raised about whether she was actually guilty. And so this girl in her mid-20s was sitting on this show being interviewed on 60 Minutes. And this girl had actually been on the yacht some 10 years earlier as a teenager. And she had seen what had happened and she had never spoken up. The weight of that guilt that she was carrying was physically evident in her. The weight of sin is heavy. It can look like guilt. And for this girl, it had morphed into something else. She not only felt guilty that she had done something wrong, but she felt that she was wrong, that she in her very essence wasn't enough. It had morphed into a heavy load of shame. She felt that she had missed the mark, her very self, that somehow she was less than, that she was unworthy, that she wasn't enough. And see, this is another way that sin can show itself. It can show itself as guilt, a heavy load of guilt. It can show itself as a heavy load of shame that we carry. Shame is a lie of the enemy that we buy into that says that we're not enough, not young enough, not old enough, not pretty enough, not smart enough, not good enough, not enough to be accepted, not enough to be loved, not enough to enter a space, enter a group of people. I'm not enough. I couldn't possibly be in there. Shame can even be, I'm not worthy enough to enter a marriage. Who would want to love me? It could be, I'm not worthy enough to get that job. Sin could even be, I'm not worthy enough to go into that church. You ever heard people say that? I walked into that building, the roof had collapsed on me. That's shame talking, friends. It's a heavy load. It's a debilitating load. And maybe it's a load that you've carried from time to time. Or maybe you're even carrying it today. Shame is what the weight of sin can look like. And the weight of sin, so it can look like guilt, it can look like shame, can be kind of summed up in separation. The weight of sin is separation. Separation in relationships. You ever had that where you've maybe had a falling out with someone and now all of a sudden there's distance? You're in this ugly standoff with them. The weight of separation, it's a heavy, heavy load. Or when someone hurts you and they let you down and you hang on to that. It's a heavy, heavy load to carry. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever carried that? The Bible sums up, the weight of sin is death. The weight of sin causes a fracture. It causes a fracture in the very essence of us because we get separated from God, who is love, who is life itself. When we miss the mark, it brings separation. The weight of sin is death. And sure, it does mean a physical sense, in a mortal sense. But at its very essence, it is that death of the image of God in us that leaves us spiritually separated. Because see, God, by his very essence, is utterly pure love. He is holy. And in the same way that oil and water can't mix, God and sin can't mix. So if we have sin in our lives, we are separated from God. It causes a separation. Who can carry that kind of weight? Who can carry that kind of weight? Who would carry that kind of weight? For you and for me when we've missed the mark? Well, friends, Jesus did. Jesus did. Sweating drops of blood in the garden as he prayed before all of this went down. God, please, if there is any other way. See, he knew what was coming. Can you imagine that? He knew what was going to happen to him. And here he is in the garden, sweating drops of blood, praying, please, if there's any other way, God. But if there's not, I'll do it. Friends, Jesus did. Hanging on that cross, nails piercing his hands and feet, a crown of thorns pressed into his brow, struggling for breath. That was the cruelty of crucifixion. They hung there and they couldn't get air in their lungs. And to get air in their lungs, they had to push up on the very nails that were going through their ankles, gasping for breath. Who could carry that kind of weight? Jesus did. Jesus did. Stripped of his dignity. Jesus did. Having never, ever missed the mark. Look in verse 41 of Luke 23. This man has done no wrong. No wrong. Having never missed the mark, Jesus did. In the Matthew account, it tells us the words that Jesus cried out, additional to the ones that we heard this morning. And Matthew said that he cried out these words, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was being separated. He was being separated. The very essence of the Godhead was being separated. Who would carry that kind of weight? Jesus did. Jesus did. Even though we should face the consequences ourselves, Jesus did. So that you and I don't have to, Jesus did. He took the weight of death and offers to us the gift of eternal life. Who could carry that kind of weight? Who would carry that kind of weight? Only someone either out of their mind or someone driven by love. And there's enough evidence to say that Jesus wasn't the former. He wasn't out of his mind. In John 3:16, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave Jesus." He was driven by love. And in some small way, I get it. You see, more than I love my little dog that I showed you before, I have two kids. And I have a husband. I have an extended family. And I love them to bits. And if anything happens to them, if I see them carrying a weight, even sometimes when it's a weight of their own making, I would do anything to take that load from them. And I can think of a couple of times in my life where members of my family have carried a heavy, heavy weight. And oh gosh, I tell you, oh, if I had the means, I would cut off my right leg so I could take that pain from them, so I could take that weight from them. Do any of you have people in your lives that you love, that you've seen go through stuff and you go, oh man, I wish I could trade places with them? See, I get it. In some small way, I get it. Because, friends, Jesus loves you and I so much. He loves the world so much that when he saw us missing the mark and the death that resulted, knowing that he had the means to do something about it, he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself but jump into that situation and take our place so that we might have the chance to receive his gift of life through an act of faith. Just by simply believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. He couldn't help himself because he loves you and I so much. And so I guess this Good Friday morning, I want to ask you this morning, how will you respond to that? Looking into the face of Jesus that we've seen this morning, how will you respond? Will you reach out? And will you say, yeah, I accept that gift. Thank you so much. Here, take my weight. Take the weight of my sin, Jesus. I want to encourage you. If you've come in here this morning carrying a weight, you don't have to carry it any longer. This morning, by an act of faith, you can step out and you can accept this free gift that Jesus offers you today through his death on the cross. And maybe this morning you have done that. Maybe for some of you, you did it a long, long time ago. And maybe today you just want to refresh. Say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jesus. So just now, before we have an opportunity to physically respond as a church, let's just bow our heads and pray together. Jesus, today as we look at the cross, as we unpack what it really meant for you to carry the weight of our sin, God, we are blown away by your love for us. We just marvel that you as God came to earth to take our place, to take our load of guilt and shame and separation, that we might have life and have it abundantly. God, I pray in these next few moments that you would continue to stir in our heart. Make us brave, God, to reach out to you this morning and to accept what you did for us. Make us grateful, God, to reach out to you and to perhaps accept it again and just to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your love for us. Jesus, we honor you as the God who knew no sin, but that loved us so much, he gave everything.